Okay, Tim has the first reading for you this morning. If you want to use your pew Bible, it's on page 1136. That's Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20 to 28. That'll be our first reading, and then we'll go over to Philippians. Thanks, Tim.
Okay, Matthew 20, starting at verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." May God bless the reading of his scripture.
Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for not just the example that he sets, but the life that there is in him, for the power that you bestow upon those who are in him and walk in fellowship with him. I pray now, Lord God, that your word would have its good effect, that your spirit would abide with us for the next little while as we consider the scripture, consider the Lord Jesus and what it is to walk alongside him and to come to the destination that he arrived at and is glorified in. Please, Lord, have mercy on your servants this morning and bless us with your resurrection power. I pray in Jesus Christ, amen. Good. All right. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 3. And I just want to, we're going to focus on 10 and 11. So let me just give you 7 through 11. If you're using your pew Bible, that's on page 1350. So Philippians 3, 7. We've been at this for a couple of weeks. Paul says, "What things were, once were, gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ," or for the sake of having Christ. "Indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ instead." That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Well, praise God for those words. So recall that last week we tried to get a handle on the concept of knowing Jesus Christ in the sense of yourself participating in the life that he gives, the life that he lives, which is obviously something much richer and all-penetrating than simply knowing him in an academic sense, knowing about his miracles, knowing about his words and deeds, and being able to give an apologetic defense and so on. Jesus is not just a topic for us to study, okay? He's not just something that we get together to learn about and say, I believe things. He's the very manifestation of God. In him is life, the life of God. Okay, you don't just learn about everlasting life in Christ the way, so we used this illustration from C.S. Lewis last time, the way you would, you know, you could observe a sunbeam shining into a dark room through a crack in the door. Okay, I can see it, I can describe it, but if you step into the sunbeam, you step into the life of God, the entire world takes on an altogether new aspect as his light floods your whole vision, fills your vision. Okay, I'm no longer, I'm in the light. I'm seeing the whole world by this light. I'm not seeing the dark room anymore. I'm not even seeing the sunbeam. I'm in the sunbeam, and my vision is illuminated with it, is ablaze with it. So, of course, take the man Saul, Paul. You can think how transformative this would be for a man whose whole previous existence and sense of pride and self-worth used to revolve around all of the mechanical minutiae of his religion and enforcing and justifying all of its distinctive doctrines and practices. Okay, Saul was a scholar and a zealot, but then one day, blinded by the overwhelming brilliant rays of Christ's glory, right, both literally blinded and inwardly, you know, it's like passing through a keyhole into a whole new universe. I want to be found in him, he says. I want to know him. Okay, as I implied at the end of last week, C.S. Lewis uses the verb enjoy with a capital E, right, to participate in, as opposed to just contemplate with a capital C. Okay, I want to know or to participate in Jesus Christ in this way, this living way. Necessarily involves, I'd say, by definition, involves knowing for oneself the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and becoming like him in death, or becoming like him in his death, and thus, by that means, reach the goal or attain to the goal of resurrection from the dead. So this is something we can't just pass by very quickly. This needs thinking over, okay? So I may have shared this story with you before. It was the kernel of the message I gave at Jerry Mink's funeral back in 2018. There's a person in the Old Testament who says, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and may my latter end be like his." Right? Okay? It's a worthy thing to wish for. Oh, that I might die the death of the righteous, and may my latter end be like his. Okay? Obviously, making a distinction between the kind of latter end that the righteous are going to receive and the kind of latter end that the unrighteous will receive. Okay? Everybody wants to receive the reward of the righteous, don't they? Right? I think you would agree that not everybody's going to get the reward of the righteous. Right? You agree with that? But they fancy that God is going to give it to them anyway. People are always talking about literally everybody who dies as though they're all up there looking down on us from heaven, but you know it isn't so, okay? If you want to die the death of the righteous and your latter end be like his, you have to live the life of the righteous, right? Mr. Mink had the righteousness which comes by faith in Christ. Mr. Mink went to his grave justified and clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ because he was cleansed by the blood and he was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And he can fully expect to receive the reward of the righteous. But the person in the Old Testament who said, "Oh, that I might die the death of the righteous," was Balaam, the false prophet, who most certainly did not die the death of the righteous. And he did not receive the ultimate reward of the righteous. He died in disgrace and is condemned by the scriptures as being a prophet for hire. Okay? I said all that to say there is a parallel thought here in these verses. And that is this. Presumably, you and I want to share in the glory of Jesus Christ, don't we? We would like that to be our latter end. To share in his never-ending life, to share in his eternal reward, to, as the Bible says, jointly inherit, right? Receive a share of the inheritance that his father is going to give him. Is that your wish? Okay. So you remember James and John's mother saying, Lord, let my two sons sit one at your right and the other at your left in your glory. Is that how it works? You just go up to Jesus and ask and you get first dibs? Okay, you just wish for it and voila, you get your wish. Okay, is it just automatic for anybody who says, oh, that I might die the death of the righteous and may my latter end be like his? Okay, that's not how it works. If you want to share in the latter end of the righteous, if you want to share in the latter end of Jesus Christ, okay, his reward and his glory, then you must first live a life in fellowship with Jesus Christ. So this is what Paul is straining for and reaching for in verses 10 and 11, because he realizes this is how this works. It isn't just a matter of walking up and asking. It's a matter of having a life of fellowship with him in all aspects, which is exactly why Jesus' reply to James and John was what it was. You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Okay, because the seats in glory are not just sort of parceled out to whoever's there to ask first on the basis of a little bit of religious excitement. They're going to be granted to those who have shared in Christ's bitter cup, partaking of his sufferings. So if we rewind to chapter 2, the second chapter of Philippians, this famous, and deservedly so, famous song in chapter 2 of Philippians, it's because Christ humbled himself all the way down to the point of death, even the death of the cross, that therefore God highly exalted him. Right? It's because he lowered himself all the way down. Therefore, God gave him the name above every other name. So Paul says, let this mind be also in you, which was in Christ Jesus. All the way down, being conformed to his dying, drinking from the cup which he had to drink. Okay, and as for himself, Paul says, I want to know the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings because I know that this is how God has set this up to work. If, as he says this in Romans, if we suffer with him, then we will also be glorified together with him. Okay, it's because I know that even Jesus had to be perfected through sufferings and trials. How much more do I, who am weak in the flesh and sinful, how much more do I need to be perfected through suffering? I will walk alongside my Lord in doing this. I, in fact, desire to do that. Okay, I hear Jesus say to me, we are going to drink out of this same cup, you and me. And I say, if that's what it takes to bring me at last into the glory of him who suffered for me, then so be it, O Father, may thy will be done and not my will. Okay, I want to know that. I want to have that precious bond between me and the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is a bond of shared hardship. Okay, there is a brotherhood, an ironclad love that is only forged by enduring suffering alongside each other, okay? I want, by some means, to attain to that resurrection from the dead and endless glory which God the Father bestowed on his obedient, faithful Son, okay? And the Son now calls me, come share my throne, my kingdom, and my crown, okay? Because you are the ones, he says, you are the ones who have endured with me in my trials. Therefore, I bestow on you a kingdom as my Father has bestowed one on me. Okay? Let me put it this way. In Paul's mind's eye is the risen Christ. Okay? Jesus Christ triumphant. Okay? We often think of Christ suffering, Christ bleeding. But in Paul's mind's eye, Christ triumphant. Christ as he lives now, after his patient endurance, after his obedience, after his submission to disgrace and insults and bleeding and death, right? After his conquest of the cross and the grave, he's risen, right? He lives forever by the power of God in majesty and strength. Okay? He lives forever exalted above the heavens in the power of an endless life, the Bible says. Paul says, I have set aside and left behind me all else that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, so that by some means I may acquire the resurrection of the dead. Okay, I am not yet raised from the dead, am I? I still live in the flesh and in weakness and dependence. I have to still face hardships, sorrows, sometimes rejection, and sometimes hate from men. Okay, like Psalm 23 says, I am sometimes in the presence of mine enemies. Right? Sometimes I have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But held out to me here is the possibility of knowing by lived experience, Christ's resurrection power in my life. Okay, I'm told in the Word that Christ liveth in me. Okay, specifically that means he sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit liveth in me by the gift of God. Okay, you remember that Christ could not send the Holy Spirit until after he was risen and ascended. Okay, the Spirit of Christ that dwells in the believer is the Spirit of the risen Christ. Christ victorious, Christ exalted, Christ powerful, but he's also Christ sympathetic, right? He's Christ compassionate. He's been where you and I are now, and he's been worse, okay? He has had to drink the cup of sorrow and pain and mortality. He has had to bear the cross. What he offers to you and me is the power of his resurrection, okay? Which power will be sufficient for you and me in our sufferings? It's just as the power of God was sufficient for him in his sufferings, right? Father, I know that you always hear me. Father, I know that you are always with me. Take this cup from me, he said. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Okay, and when he prayed that, the power of God came and sustained him. And he finished his course. He drank the cup down to the dregs that he had to drink. Okay, now he is exalted above the heavens, and the power of his resurrection is available when we call on him in our weakness and our suffering. Don't you find there's comfort and strength in realizing he already has walked the path, and now he is there on the path, waiting in his risen power to help us as we have to drink from the same cup. We have to share in his suffering and in his humiliation. Okay, he's there on the path for us in our time of need. Okay, you may pass through the flood waters, but I'm going to be with you. You may have to go through the fire, but I have hold of your hand. Okay, I want to know this power. I want to have that kind of fellowship with my Redeemer. Okay, don't shrink back. Okay, I'll say this to you. Don't shrink back from following in his sufferings, from sharing in the fellowship of his sufferings. Walk through the valley of the shadow of death and do not fear, because he is with you. He traveled this valley before. He now lives in the power of an indestructible life. He's there for you, so don't fear, because you won't be destroyed either. Okay, so the Bible tells me these things, and, you know, I know them propositionally. Okay, I know propositionally that the risen Christ dwells in the believer by his Holy Spirit. But for heaven's sake, and I mean literally for heaven's sake, don't let me just believe that that is true, you know, agree to the propositions. I want to know the power of the resurrection life myself. I want to stand in the sunbeam that is the power of his indestructible life and bear my cross with patience, and fear no evil, for thou art with me. Okay? We are bound together, Christ and I, we are bound together in the bond of fellowship, and he sustains me in the power of his resurrection. Okay, so again, you remember John saying at the beginning of John, of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Okay? Paul says at one point, we have been made to drink into his Holy Spirit. Okay, it's a very interesting turn of phrase. We've been made to drink into one Spirit. There's that idea of fullness, right? Full of the drink of his Spirit, if you like. The life force of the risen Christ is what lives in me. God has caused me to take a deep draft of it and experience the strength of the overcoming power of his risen life and obediently submit to my Father's will in whatever comes in patient, noble, and holy endurance. So, you know, that thinking of that made me think of the other passage where Paul says, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled on the Holy Spirit, right? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, there's something about drinking, well, you know, filling your belly that is an illustration of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so play on words about filling up. When a person drinks wine, it does something to you, right? It, you know, from your belly, it sort of, it goes into your whole body and it changes your behavior. When Paul says we have been made to drink of his Holy Spirit, we've taken a deep draft of his Holy Spirit, okay, there's this notion of this internal taking over and stimulation or vitalization, this coursing through your spirit, the spirit and life force of the risen Christ. Hey, I want to know this, Paul says. Oh, that I may know this. What he's stretching for and striving for, that's his one desire. And frankly, what's wine in comparison with that? Okay, let's drink deeply of the Holy Spirit of the risen Christ. Okay, let's not just go to a place and listen to a man try to describe it and talk about it. I want to taste that for myself. I want that to happen to me. Okay, that I may know him and the power and the fellowship. Okay, and then may my latter end be like his. Okay, well, the only way that can happen to you or for you is if you are willing to accept the kinds of sufferings that come to the Christian and take them from the Father's hand with the attitude that I want to share in the fellowship of his suffering. Okay, Jesus and I will be companions in this. He suffered for me. He suffered with patience and grace. He drew on the Father's power for strength, and he overcame, and he now lives forever. He's exalted above the heavens. I want to know this. Okay, I want to know the power of his resurrection, the sharing in his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead myself. Okay, you know how the Bible says Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. Okay, he's the first one risen from the dead. We're told that when he comes, those who belong to him will share in his resurrection. Right? The latter end of the righteous comes to the righteous. The glory and the reward that God bestowed upon Jesus Christ will also belong to those who live and die in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Okay? You don't just walk up to the Lord and say, oh, please let me have this. Okay? Let me have a place in your glory. He is the King of glory, right? Eternal glory is to be found in him, in a person, in the Son of God. So think about those seven letters to Revelation. Repeatedly, Christ says, to him who overcomes. Okay, to him who overcomes. To overcome means you have to face the suffering. You have to accept the suffering and allow God to use it in your life to shape you into the similitude of Jesus, okay? Just as Jesus himself, the author of our salvation, was perfected by suffering, okay? Allow God to do this. Trust Jesus and draw on his resurrection power, okay? He says this, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Hey, I overcame, he says. All right, I can read the Gospels. I can study and see how Jesus overcame. I can read about that. I want to do that too. You follow me? Mm-hmm. I want to live that. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being conformed to the likeness of his death and overcoming. Okay, Revelation says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. And it says this calls for patient perseverance on the part of the saints, and says, blessed are they who die in the Lord henceforth. Okay, those who die in the Lord, they shall rest from their labors and their works shall follow them. Okay? Don't you find this is much richer and more glorious and realer than a religion? Okay? Or any set of church practices that were just handed down to us from our grandfathers. There is the risen, glorified Savior, Jesus Christ. He is alive by the power of God, and death has no dominion over him. Satan has no hold on him. Sin has no hold on him. He is exalted and enthroned. He is eternal life. Okay, and he said in one of his prayers, "Herein is eternal life, that they may know you, the only living God, and your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Okay, herein is life. You are called upon to suffer. When you are called upon to suffer, okay, and the fallen world presents many occasions of suffering in many forms, right? All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will face suffering. Count it joy, my brothers. Count it joy. Right? Those aren't the words of a madman. It's not self-destructive to say, count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various forms of suffering. Okay, I want to walk with Jesus. Right? Oh, Master, let me walk with thee. I want to walk with the righteous one. I want to die the death of the righteous one, and my latter end be like his. Okay, Paul already has said to these people, the Philippians, in chapter 1, to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not just to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Okay? That is a privilege God grants. Right? It's a privilege God grants to those he loves, because this is how he has set the whole thing up to work. If we suffer with him, we also will be glorified together with him. And Paul says, I count the two things not even worth comparing in terms of degree. Okay? It's light and momentary affliction. It is an eternal weight of glory. Okay, it's the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, eternity in his glory and in his power, the surpassing glory that is going to be revealed at the coming of Christ and the redemption of the sons of God. Okay, be of good cheer, my friends. Desire that fellowship for yourself. I can only speak for myself, but I want you to be able to repeat Paul's words and mean them. The Spirit is with you. Okay, if you have drunk of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection power lives in you, the Spirit is going to help you in all your weaknesses. He will help you overcome. Right? Shall tribulation or distress or peril or nakedness or famine or sword, shall any of it separate us from the love of the Lord God? Never. Okay? In all those things we are, Paul says, more than overcomers through him who loved us. Okay? Lord Jesus, don't let us go. Master, let us walk with you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it is my prayer that we would be able to enjoy the privilege of walking alongside you, following in your footsteps, knowing the power of your risen life at work in us who believe. Lord, you know each of our personal stories. You know the troubles that afflict each one of us. You know our worries, our cares, and our concerns. You know our struggles with sin. We welcome you into our hearts. We welcome you into our daily living. Help us to walk alongside you, to know your power, and somehow, by your grace, by your power, attain to the resurrection of the dead and everlasting life. And I pray it for your own name's sake, that you may be glorified forever. Amen. Amen.